Hello and welcome to our live telephone town hall meeting this evening with Powder River Energy Corporation members like yourself. We'll be starting in just a moment here. We're dialing out right now and we should have some folks on the line in a moment. We've just got one or two on right now, but we'll be starting in just about 2 minutes here, so hang out on the line. Once again, welcome to our live telephone town hall meeting this evening. You're on with Powder River Energy CEO Mike Easley, and he'll be joining us in just a moment to get us started. We'll be taking questions from our live audience, as we always do with these teletown halls, and if you would like to ask a question live in this forum tonight, at any time you can press zero to get in line with your question, and we'll be taking those live questions throughout the call. Before we bring Mike on the line, we want to make sure that you understand how to participate and you understand what we'll be doing throughout the call. We've got some opening introductory comments from CEO Mike Easley, and after we get through those, we'll be running some survey questions. You'll be able to vote on those using your touchtone phone. We'll also be taking your questions. So again, listen in as Mike gives a walkthrough of where we're at, and as you're listening, be thinking about questions you want to ask. As soon as you have a question to ask live in our forum, don't hesitate to press zero on your phone to get in with that question live. And if you would like to go back and review portions of tonight's call, an audio file and transcript will be posted later this week on our website at www.precorp.coop. That's precorp.coop. One more thing, if we don't already give you email updates and you'd like to give us your most current email address to send updates to, you can press 7 on your phone now or at any time during this call. So once more, really quickly, you're on with Powder River Energy, and thank you for being on the call. We've just about got everybody on the line. We'll get started in just a second here. But reminder, you can press 0 at any time to ask a question live in our forum. We'll be hearing from CEO Mike Easley in just a moment here. And as you're listening, be thinking about questions you want to ask. As soon as you have a question to ask live in our forum, press 0. We'll be taking those questions live throughout. Again, you'll be able to vote in some survey questions that we'll be running. You vote on those just using your touchtone phone. And once more, if you would like to give us your email address, if you're not already getting email updates from Powder River Energy, go ahead and push 7 on your phone to give us your email address. So 0 for questions, 7 to give us your email address. We'll go ahead and get started now. I'll turn it over to Powder River Energy CEO Mike Easley. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Ian, and good morning. Good morning. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our telephone town hall meeting. It's a pleasure to be with you and give you guys an update on what's happening at Precorp, and then hopefully to take questions that you might have regarding anything Powder River Energy. Just wanted to give you a quick rundown on what's happened since the last time that we talked. That was October of last year, and since then we have continued to work diligently in managing through in a significant downturn in the energy economy here in Wyoming and nationally as well. And we've been dealing with managing risk related to power bill risk related to non-payment or potential non-payment of power bills as some of our coal mine companies have seen some pretty difficult financial times and have entered some restructuring through the bankruptcy process. So that's taken quite a bit of my time, but we continue to make progress on that, and we've been able to prevent any additional losses after what we saw with the Alpha bankruptcy. So the Arch went into bankruptcy, and from our perspective, we were well protected through that. And my hat's off to the folks at Arch and how they have how they performed through that and how they've helped Precorp manage our risk. We've also recently filed a rate case. This is it's our 2016 general rate case. That was filed with the Public Service Commission, and we are looking for an effective date on those rates sometime right at the first of the year, potentially a month or two early, depending on how things go, but our target date is January of 2017. That rate case really reflects cost increases related to our distribution side of our business. I think all of you are used to seeing our cost of power adjustment that comes out on your bill. And every year we adjust our rates to compensate for any changes that we see in the rate from our wholesale power supplier. But when we file a general rate case like what we filed with the commission, that is really reflective of Precorp's distribution costs, which are basically the cost to operate and maintain our 12,000 or so miles of power line transmission and distribution throughout our 16,000 square mile service territory. That rate filing has, from the perspective of our residential customers, it's about a 7.83% increase in the monthly power bill. The total revenue that we're asking for is $11.5 million. And the residential customer increase is fairly modest. We still will stay under the average cost in Wyoming. That doesn't really make it any easier to swallow, because anytime we raise rates, we know the impact that has on our members. The rate case does have a significant impact on the coal bed methane class, and coal bed methane has been shrinking in size for several years, and this past year, with the problems that a company called StormCat had, we lost hundreds of accounts, and that has impacted their rate, because now there are costs that we incurred that are now being spread over a smaller number of CBM customers. And so the CBM class is being hit significantly harder than everybody else, to the tune of about 17% increase for that particular class. So as we work through our rate case, I'll be happy to take any questions that folks may have on that. It will be probably going to hearing at the Public Service Commission sometime in August, and it'll be a few months after that before we actually know the outcome of that. Look forward to taking any questions that you might have regarding the rate case or anything else to do with Powder River Energy. I know just recently there was lots of comments on social media about what's going on with us over the past few weeks, and if anybody has any questions, I would certainly like to be able to answer those for you, and look forward to the opportunity. So we'll turn it back to you again.
Thanks so much, Mike. And a reminder, everybody, if you do have a question you'd like to ask, press 0 on your phone. We'll be taking Teresa's question first in just a moment. But, again, if you have a question you'd like to ask live in our forum of CEO Mike Easley, press 0 on your phone right now. We'll start out with our first survey question for you, and it's pretty basic. Do you personally know anyone who has lost their job recently because of energy industry layoffs? Press 1 for yes and 2 for no. Again, do you personally know anyone who has lost their job recently because of energy industry layoffs? Press 1 on your phone for yes and 2 on your phone for no. And while you're voting on that, we'll go to our first live question. It's Teresa. Reminder, you can press 0 to get in the queue. Teresa, you're live. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, we were just concerned. Our electric bill has already doubled. The senior citizens can't afford the cost increase that we just received, and now we've been told there will be another one for 2017. How are we supposed to pay our electric bill? Our electric bill doubled.
Well, Teresa, I think one of the things that you should do immediately is to call our customer service folks and speak with them in person and have all your account information handy so they can verify to make sure that there are no issues on the account. Our rates have not doubled. There was a small increase at the beginning of this year with our cost of power adjustment, but it was nowhere near a doubling of the rate. So you could potentially have something wrong with your service that is using much more electricity than you've used before. Also, when you take a look at your power bill, typically there's a graph that you can compare what your usage was this month to your usage at the same time, the same month last year. And it could be that it's a combination of maybe using more electricity, which could just be usage, or there could be something wrong with your service. So I would urge you, if you see any of that kind of an abrupt change on your power bill, Teresa, or if anybody out there sees that, we have a group of trained folks that are standing by to take your calls and help you resolve issues, and then we can also provide folks to come out and check the meter and things like that to make sure that there is not an issue with the service itself.
Thank you so much, Teresa, for being on. Thanks. Appreciate that answer, Mike. We're going to go to our next question from Aya next. Hey, Aya, you're live. Go
ahead. I was wondering, how many times is there going to be an increase on our electric? Is it just a one time, or if it's going to be every year, or what is it going to be like?
Well, I can tell you that every year we adjust our COPA factor, which is the method that we use to flow through changes in our wholesale power costs. And our wholesale power costs, you know, they do change every year. The general rate case where we actually go in and ask for additional money for our distribution costs, the last time we filed for that rate increase was in 2014. And so that rate case actually lasted about 3 years before we implemented another rate case. I would hope that once we file this rate case in January of 2017, that rate would last us for a while. But right now, with what we're seeing in declines in our overall sales, it's very difficult to maintain rates when your overall sales are decreasing. And at this point, going on early to 2016, we hope that 2016 performs as expected. But if we look back to 2015, our overall sales were down 4.2% as a system. If 2016 is a tough year for us, which means that's going to be a tough year for the coal industry and the oil industry, depending on what our sales levels look like, our rate case may not last as long as our last one did. So you can expect, to summarize, you can expect our annual COPA adjustment, which is the way we pass through our wholesale power costs, and then our distribution cost will just frankly depend on how our economy does and what our system sales can do. The folks in the company, the employees, we do a lot to continually drive down our costs and increase our efficiencies. And because of the work that our employees have done in becoming more efficient and figuring out cheaper ways to do things while at the same time maintaining or increasing our reliability, that is also another lever that we can use to help control our costs and to not have our rating to space out what rate increases that we need as long as we possibly can.
Thanks for the question, Aya. Thank you, Mike, for the answer. Let's go right to our next question from Mervin. Hey, Mervin, you're live. Go ahead, please, sir.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Now, on the power bill, I'm kind of concerned, but it's the power cost adjustment. Sometimes it's, you know, really small, and sometimes it's not there at all, and other times it is, you know, pretty substantial. I was wondering how you guys actually figured that power cost adjustment out.
You know, that's a great question, and I could give you a very high level view. It's based upon, first of all, Precorp, when it comes to the wholesale component of our rate, we only collect our cost of power. But it's hard to know exactly how much our power costs will be because how much demand we use and how much energy we use varies. So what we do is when we get a new rate from Basin, we estimate what the impact of that is for the next year, and that becomes part of our COPA. We also look backwards and see how close that our previous year estimate was, and depending upon how close we were, we will either refund, if we overcharge for a particular year, we will make a refund and have a credit on that COPA that actually helps lower the increase of that current year, or if we didn't recover enough, then it would be a little extra that we would put on that. The COPA mechanism really does vary with basin's rate, and historically, basin, if you go back over maybe the past 10 years, basin's rate changed very little from year to year, and we had several years where there was no wholesale power cost increase. This past couple of years, basin has been hit with some pretty big expenditures relating to keeping their plants compliant with some EPA regulations, and there's been significant uptick in environmental costs that have created some upward pressure on the rates, as well as some transmission system costs that have put some pressure on the rates. And those are the things that have that drive the wholesale power cost to change every year. We estimate what the future upcoming year looks like, and then we make adjustments on looking backwards to make sure that we didn't over-recover or under-recover on our power cost.
Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks, Mervyn. Great question. Appreciate you participating. We'll get to our next question from Joey in just a minute, but a reminder, we are going to go for another 45 minutes here, so we've got time for plenty more questions. If you do have a question you want to come in with, you can press 0. And I'll mention again, if you want to get email updates from Powder River Energy, you can press 7 on your phone. If we aren't already giving you email updates, press 7 to give us your email address so we can keep you updated better in the future. Joey, you're live. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just got a question about the coal industry thing. Are you guys, is coal your main fuel for creating the electricity that we're using? And did the Arch and them guys that are filing for bankruptcy, did that affect the amount of coal you can get, or were we getting coal from everybody in the basin? Or and are we also using natural gas, or did we get locked into a price? Because I think coal probably is a little cheaper now than it was. So I guess several questions.
Sure. Yeah, let me hit on that, and that's really a great question, and, you know, it's something that we are really focused on right now. Basin Electric is Powder River Energy's power supplier, and Basin actually owns its own coal reserves. So from a supply perspective, Basin's use of coal is not impacted by what happens with Arch and the other, the other companies from the perspective of supply. So Basin supply is reliable. Their coal that they produce is produced at a very competitive level because as they produce it, there's not really a profit incentive in producing the coal. Basin's portfolio, their percentage of coal is just under 60% of their energy comes from coal. They also have natural gas generation, wind generation as well. And the wind and gas has come on in later years as each year Basin looks to see what's the cheapest way to, you know, either generate or buy power and makes those decisions. The last coal plant that Basin built was the Dry Fork Station there in Gillette. It's a 385-megawatt coal plant, and that plant is a very cost-effective plant for us. How the coal industry impacts our prices really has to do with the coal mines being our customers. We have, if you take a look at the coal mine customer base and like the oil and gas customer base, 80% of Precorp's revenue comes from these large industrial customers. And as you guys have heard me talk over the years, you know, the more energy that we sell, obviously the cheaper it is for us to do that because our fixed costs are spread over a much larger base. And so Precorp has risk not only related to the power bill for companies that are financially troubled, but to the extent that they lower their usage, then we have less energy to spread our fixed costs over, and we could be facing significant rate impacts as or if we lose significant load out of our large industries. That's one of the reasons that the CBM class is seeing such a large increase in our in their rate in our general rate case that we just filed, because they've lost customers and they've lost sales, but we still had investments that we made that need to get paid for. So our coal supply that we have is reliable. Basin does a great job with that. A large percentage of the power supply is on coal, but we are fairly susceptible to the downturn in the energy industry, both as it relates to coal and oil.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Joey. Great questions. Appreciate that. We're going to go to Colt Live in just a moment. We've got another survey question for you first. Are you aware Precorp has requested a general rate increase for 2016? Press 1 on your phone for yes, 2 on your phone for no. Again, the question is, are you aware Precorp has requested a general rate increase for 2017? Press 1 on your phone for yes, 2 on your phone for no, and we'll go to Colt Live next. Hey, Colt, you're up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess my question was, I got a couple of them. I've heard that the power companies produce power and then they ship it, you know, through power lines and then they harvest it down the way. Does the power that we have in our northwest Wyoming, does it come from this area or somewhere else? And the other question was, is how far south does Powder River Energy run?
Okay. Powder River Energy's territory covers Crook, Weston, Sheridan, Campbell, and Crook, Weston, Campbell County, Sheridan, Johnson County, so the five counties in northeast Wyoming. So we go south, you know, to the Converse County line. So that's how far our territory goes. If you take a look at the power that's produced in northeast Wyoming from the Gillette, there in Gillette at the Dry Fork Station, and also at Wyodak, which is owned by Rocky Mountain Power, it's pretty safe to say that all the electrons that we use are generated locally. However, when power companies, power doesn't flow, you know, you don't get to direct how power flows from point A to point B. It sort of flows where it wants to flow. And so there's contracts that companies make that develop contract paths where on paper we may be getting power from, you know, from Laramie River Station, which is in Wheatland, or we may be getting power from potentially from, you know, a site that's east of us in the Eastern Interconnect on the contract paths, which is the paper. But the electrons that we use, if the plants in Wyoming, Wyodak, and Dry Fork are running, all those electrons that we get are locally produced in Wyoming with Wyoming coal.
Great. Thanks, Mike. And thank you, Colt. Appreciate the question. Let's go right to our next question from Brandy. Remember, you can press 0 with questions, 7 to give us your email. And Brandy, you're live. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for letting me ask a question here. You know, the only thing I'm curious about is, you know, like this last month, we made sure that we didn't, you know, leave lights on, things like that, because my kids are bad at it. You know, but we still ended up using more power than we did last month. You know, so my bill jumped $50, and I just don't even understand how that's possible.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to really take a look at what appliances that you have on. There's lots of different things in your home that use energy besides the lights. I don't know if you have electric heat or if you had a space heater on or any of those sorts of things, but it's really the key is really to do to look very closely at what is used in the house and to, you know, audit those. There are some tools that you can get on the internet. There's links off our website to Touchstone Energy, which is has some web tools that you can use to kind of go through your house and do an inventory of your various appliances, and it'll give you an idea of the energy usage. That's also something that if you want some help understanding and want to call in to the office, they'll be able to connect you with folks, the experts that we have that can help you better understand your usage in the house. You know, it's really important that if you see anomalies in your usage to call in, especially if it's something that you can't explain, and let the folks that are, you know, it's our job as co-op employees to serve our members, and we are happy to take those questions and to help you understand where the usage is going. You know, occasionally we have issues with meters. Those are really, really quite rare because of the high-level maintenance program that we have with our meters. But those things can all be checked as well. And if you do have problems or questions on your usage, I would really encourage you to call in and talk to our member services people, and they will connect you with experts that we have available to help you understand your usage at your home. Very important to be paying attention to that, and I'm really really sorry that you might have gotten caught off guard. And these are the kind of things that if you'll give us a chance to come and give you some guidance and some help, whether it's on site or connecting you to a website, we would sure like to be able to help you with that.
Thank you, Brandy. Appreciate that. Again, folks, you're on with CEO Mike Easley. He's here to answer your questions, zero with any questions you might have, and I'll make a last call right now for email addresses. If you want to give us your email so we can keep you updated, if we're not already updating you via email, press 7 on your phone to give us your email address. And we're going to go right to Tom next. Hey, Tom, you're up. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Mike, can you give any examples of specific things that the co-op is doing to cut costs and try and be frugal?
Sure, Tom. That's a great question. I guess I would break that down in several ways. Back even as early as 2010, we were anticipating, just a decline in coal bed methane. And so the first thing that we did is we had a lots of resources that were contracted out that we basically cut off. And we started picking that work up with our in-house folks, and that saved us some dollars. And then when we have, as over the years, we've had probably through the course of the years, people retiring, we've not been filling positions or waiting as long as we possibly could before we filled the position. And so we've actually reduced the number of positions, by 10% over the past 5 years or so. And that is something that we're currently doing now as far as being very careful about how we backfill a position. Coming into this year, we have four open positions, and I think it's five open positions. Many of those will not get filled, and that will help us control our labor costs. The other thing that we do to control costs is the way we have gone about doing our business on like when we replace poles, our engineering department came up with a way to change out our bad poles much more cheaply at, saving ourselves $500,000 or so a year in pole changeout costs by figuring out a cheaper way to do that. On our operations side, our operations department has made some really big savings on costs in how we've been implementing our meter reading system, and has again saved hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then also our employees, each one of our employees has been challenged and has been training themselves and training our team on how we can create efficiencies in just the processes that we do. And every year our employees are challenged to figure out ways to do things more efficiently, and we have tracked those changes. We have tracked those savings year after year after year, and we consistently, through that process, deliver well over $1 million in savings over the course of the year in all the projects that I've talked about, the increased efficiencies and then the special items that we've done to reduce costs. We also look very hard at our overall labor costs and our overtime, and our operations guys have done a phenomenal job over the past few years with our maintenance program, which has saved us considerable amount of dollars on overtime and responding to outages, and at the same time has increased our reliability and our customer service. And those are ongoing and continuing things that we do to help control our costs and reduce the ultimate rate impact to our members.
Thank you, Mike. And thank you, Tom. Appreciate you being on. Thanks for the question. Let's move right to our next one from Scott. Hey, Scott, you're live. Go ahead, please, sir.
Hey, Scott Outenright. I guess Colt's comment he had answered one of my questions. The other thing is, yeah, I just lost my job out at one of the mines. I got a $400 power bill. You know, I run maybe one or two lights in the house. I've had a power surge in the past, blew out a new TV. You guys took care of that. That's all good. But I don't understand where the last month to 2 months has been $400 for one kid and me. I mean, and then we're going to get the increase is, if I'm following this right, the increase with, because of the heavy hitters are not, you know, buying the power from you, so now the residents are going to take the hit. You know, where are we at with that?
Yeah, well, Scott, first of all, I really feel for you as it relates to the job. And I was just talking a couple weeks ago with one of our member services rep, and a lot of our calls that people have called in about, they've shared with us that they've have lost a job, you know, related to something in the energy industry. And so that is definitely happening out there. And immediately things that you can do is we have a program that allows you to do average billing. So you can basically, you know, some winter months are typically higher than summer months. Maybe if you have air conditioning, you know, hottest part of the summer, you maybe have a high bill. But generally, you can average your power bill over the course of a year. And I would strongly suggest that you call the office and talk about our budget billing. It can be a real help to, you know, to manage and spread out those costs evenly. If you're with your power bill running up fairly high, if it's abnormal for what you've been using, again, like I've mentioned earlier, we need to, you know, definitely take a look and make sure that there isn't something that is running that is taking power that you're not aware of, whether it's electric heat or a pump or a water well that's stuck on that could be running. Those are some things that some fairly easy checks that you can do to see if some things are running that you're not aware of. And our folks, if you want to call in and talk about that, they can get some people out to help you take a look at that. As far as the increases, we have this thing that when we do our rate case, we look at a cost of service study. And so we fairly allocate cost to everybody. And as I mentioned, the coal bed methane has fallen off. They're picking up their fair share of that usage decline, and that's why their rates are going up in our cost of service study 17% compared to the residential customers, going up well under that at around 6%. Although, 6% or 7.83%, I'm sorry. I mean, that's still a fairly sizable increase. But it's reflective of we are a co-op and we do share costs, but our cost of service study really tries to make sure that those costs are properly allocated to the various classes.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, Scott. Thank you for being on our call. We're going to go to our next live question. We've got Liz up. Hey, Liz, you're live.
Hi. I just wanted to call in. I don't have a question. I think you guys are doing a wonderful job. We are so much lower, our power bill is so much lower than our neighbors who use Black Hills. It's unbelievable. They wish they could change to Powder River. So thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the comment, Liz. And, the one of the benefits for being part of the electric co-op is we are not for profit. And so within our rates, there's not a profit that goes to shareholders. And that helps us be more competitive. And we also, have capital credits that we have historically retired to the tune of about $2 million a year, a little more. And, returning that back to the members is also a benefit. I think the Wyoming state average for 1,000 kilowatt hours, which is close to our average usage, is $120 a month for a power bill. And on Precorp, even with our rate increase, that number is about $104. So we're still competitive when you take a look at us, like you pointed out. But I can tell you, the board of directors and the employees, when we do actually, even though we're competitive and we have to raise rates, we work really hard to try to make sure that the rate adjustments that we ask are as little as possible, and we try to space out those increases as long as we can.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike. Thanks, Liz. Appreciate the compliment. Thanks for being on a call. And we're going to go to our next question. We've got Gail live on the line. Hey, Gail, you're up.
Hello. My question is more on the lines of, I think you guys are doing a great job with what you're doing. And I know some of the other power companies around the U.S. are offering subsidies to some of the more rural homeowners for windmills that they come and help install. And I'm sure there's some costs involved. And then they help generate the power for that home, and then if by chance there's anything extra, it gets sent back to the power company on a buyback type deal. I'm wondering if you guys offer any of them programs for the rural homeowners to install windmills or solar panels or whatever it may be. Thank you.
Yep. That's a great question, and I know Precorp does have a program. It's called a net metering program, and that's actually a program that's required by state law that we participate in. And the net metering program allows a homeowner to install a renewable source. It could be wind or solar, and any power that is in excess of what they would use gets we track that for the entire year, and then at the end of the year, we pay them for their excess generation, but we pay them, the rate that we pay them is actually the true amount that it saved us, and it's usually, we call that our avoided cost, and it's really reflective of the fuel cost component that generation offset. So it's around, a couple cents worth of per kilowatt hour, so it's not a huge number. And so there's really no subsidies. About a decade ago, the board had some foresight and saw this as something that was coming down the pike. And one of the ways that you reduce subsidies between people that use net metering and other folks is that our fixed charge that we have every month is very close to closer to our cost of service than lots of other co-ops and lots of other utilities. And so by having your fixed charge priced properly, that eliminates subsidies when people come in and have if you expect to collect your fixed costs out of your energy rate and people don't use very much energy, then that shifts costs to the people that don't have the renewables. But the way our rate is designed, we do comply with the net metering. We don't pay the full distribution rate for the power, just a component reflective of the fuel cost, and our fixed charge that we have is very close to cost of service. That eliminates the chances for subsidies between people that use renewables and people that don't. And I'm not saying that using wind or solar is a bad thing. There's lots of our customers that have had the desire to do that, and we support that. And we have installations all throughout our service territory where there's some small wind and some solar, and that's just part of a kind of a growing thing in the utility industry. And we're prepared to take care of that and help the members that want to do it and also take care of the members that don't.
Thanks so much, Gail. Appreciate you being on our call. And we're just about at the end of our allotted 45 minutes, folks, so I've got another survey question for you. We want to know, do you understand why Precorp is requesting a general rate increase for 2017? Press 1 on your phone for yes and 2 on your phone for no. Again, our question for you is, do you understand why Precorp is requesting a general rate increase for 2017? Press 1 on your phone for yes, 2 on your phone for no. And I'm going to turn it back to Mike in a moment here, but I wanted everybody else who's waiting to ask their questions to know that we'll be contacting you all directly to answer your questions. Sorry we didn't have time to get to you in this call, but we'll contact each of you directly to answer your questions. And anybody else on the line who has additional questions or comments, you can stay on the line after our call is wrapped up in just a few minutes here. And by doing so, you'll have an opportunity to leave us a voicemail message. If you do leave us a voicemail and you want us to get back to you, be sure to leave contact information. So go ahead and stay on and leave any questions or comments along with your contact information in those voicemails. And thanks, everybody, for being on. I'll go ahead and turn it over to wrap up to CEO Mike Easley. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Thanks, Ian. And thank you, everybody, for joining me this evening in this telephone town hall. I think it's a great way to communicate. But I can tell you there's nothing better than face-to-face. And I would like to make sure and invite all of you to our in-person town hall meetings that we're going to have on March 9th, 8th, 9th, and 10th in Sundance, Gillette, and Sheridan. Sundance on the 8th, Gillette on the 9th, Sheridan on the 10th. These will begin at 5:30 in our main offices. We're going to speak a little bit more about our general rate case and also take on any questions that that you may have. I would also just remind you, if you didn't get a chance to leave your question on the voicemail or to ask it tonight, please feel free to call in to the office tomorrow, especially if you have issues or concerns on high usage. We want to make sure that we deal with those and make sure that everything is going properly as it should with the electric service at your house. Again, thank you all so much for joining our telephone town hall. Hope to see some of you March 8th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. And if I don't see you then, I'll look forward to our next telephone town hall, which will be sometime this spring. Thank you all very much.